There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Back to 1207 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. We will talk some AI this hour. We'll also talk the confirmations of cabinet positions for Trump. But let me go here for 1 second as the youngest ever. You know, everybody loves a superlative. We'll get to superlatives in a second when it comes to Treasury Secretary Bessent in a second. But let's go. Can we go to, yeah, we'll go to the live audio on that because we have the first, this is the youngest, as I read here, the youngest press secretary in the history of our republic, which is, back then, you would think back in the old days when people didn't live as long, they would have had younger press secretaries. But Carolyn Leavitt, the 27-year-old press secretary, is holding her first press briefing. So let's just tuck in on that for 1 second here.
On day one, President Trump declared a national emergency at our southern border to end the four-year-long invasion of illegal aliens under the previous administration. Additionally, President Trump signed an executive order to end catch and release and finish construction of his effective border wall. By using every lever of his federal power, President Trump has sent a loud and clear message to the entire world. America will no longer tolerate illegal immigration. And this president expects that every nation on this planet will cooperate with the repatriation of their citizens. As proven by this weekend, when President Trump swiftly directed his team to issue harsh and effective sanctions and tariffs on the Colombian government, upon hearing they were denied a U.S. military aircraft full of their own citizens who were deported by this administration. Within hours, the Colombian government agreed to all of President Trump's demands, proving America is once again respected on the world stage.
All right, so tucking in on just a little bit there of the first press briefing for 20, they make a big deal about it, but sounds like she's got it together. She's been around this before. So Caroline, is it Caroline or Carolyn? It's Caroline Leavitt. Having her first press secretary official job. She was assistant press secretary during the first White House term for Trump, and she's back running the show now. Maybe that'll be a side theme on today's show. She's 27. This guy that has caused NVIDIA to lose, 60% of its value in the market is sending U.S. tech stocks into a tumult. He's, 38. The guy behind the Chinese AI, the youths are causing us some, I don't know, maybe you look back in the rear view and go, man, I should have, at 27, I was not press secretary material, and at 39, I did not change the whole world with an AI program, but we'll just look at it like that. So Caroline Leavitt, she's speaking right now, new press secretary. Also, if you heard mention there on the national news, talked about Scott Bessent. I thought this was interesting, too. So we've talked about Bessent some on the show. I think the thing that got people's attention from the conservative side is his history and the time he spent working with Soros, right? That a lot of people said, whoa. What about this? He worked with... So, and that's been discussed. But that, on the left, is not what they'd wanted to talk about, right? They didn't want to talk about that. They wanted to talk about, you know, oligarchy. Remember, as if you heard Besant respond to what outgoing then-President Biden said about the oligarchs and what was happening with Trump, Besant pushed back on that, very similar to the way that we did here on this show. You know, whose oligarchs are you talking about there, Biden? But I thought it was interesting, too. So the story's out today. So Besant, he was confirmed yesterday as Treasury Secretary. Senate voted to confirm him. And yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff leveled at him. He's a billionaire. Well, good. If you know what, I want somebody, if you want to show me that they've got the, you know, I want to get a player for my football team, my pro team. I'd like to get the Heisman winner. I'd like to get that person on my team, right? Well, same thing here. I mean, if you're going to be a Treasury Secretary, you're somebody that has made other people a lot of money, and yourself, you're a billionaire. Well, I think it's good. So, coming out of the Trump administration and from right-of-center media, the discussion of Besant was, for a while there's a little bit of the media on the right was like, what about this? He worked with Soros at one point. So that discussion came up. Then it went into, hey, this guy is, you know, billionaire. He knows how to make money, knows how the economy in a macro version works quite well. That was the discussion leading into this. Didn't hear anything about, well, he would be, because we have like the youngest press secretary ever. Remember, we talked some superlatives this hour. So there she is, Caroline Leavitt, 27 years old. They're talking about this today. That wasn't brought up, but they're saying, hey, here's a press secretary. She has experience from the first Trump term. Okay. Now it's, whoa, look, she's the youngest ever. On the Scott Besant side, did y'all hear, maybe I missed it, but I looked at this a bunch because if any of y'all that listen to the show for a long time know that I get drawn to the bug zapper of fiscal issues, right? And I like talking about Treasury and I like talking about macroeconomics because I'm just that exciting. I didn't hear anything about who he slept with. Did you? But now the second that he has been confirmed, left of center and centrist media groups are coming out and saying he's the highest ranking. They say LGBTQ. He's the highest ranking gay dude. I'm gonna put it in that language. He's the highest ranking gay dude ever. Official for Treasury. Who cares? This now has become the story. I don't want to sit at these stories are out here now. And you're gonna say, well, why are you talking about it? Because it's popular. If you search Scott Besant, okay, just Google him up or Brave or Ask Jeeves or whatever you're using out there. Scott, but it comes up with all these stories about who he sleeps with. I don't care. I care about him making billions of dollars and understanding macroeconomics. But it's interesting. So if you go back in the time machine and we go into the first days or even before the first days of Joe Biden, of President Biden back then, they led with who they slept with or what they had or didn't have below the belt. Like, that was the whole discussion. It wasn't that this person is really good at their job. This person needs to be there because they understand whatever it is, whatever cabinet position, whatever, you know, super friend you need to add to the Hall of Justice. Trump administration didn't lead with that. I didn't hear Republicans lead with that. Now that the confirmation's gone through, now they think, oh, and he's gay. Okay, well, who cares? But you see this is a very, very different. If we could take that time machine and go back to as Biden came into office, cabinet position, it was all about what made them different, not about what made them good. And I think it's very refreshing. I don't care who Besant dates, sleeps with. Well, I don't. Of no issue for me. Meaning no issue. Meaning I don't give a damn. I want to know that you can run Treasury and let me pick at you all the time because I like to pick at Treasury secretaries if you hadn't noticed. So there you go. It's interesting now. Stories like I'm reading from The Hill, USA Today, Financial Times. I'm just scrolling here. New York Times, CNBC. CNN, there's a Fox News story about it. Says nothing about, it just says he's a billionaire hedge fund manager.
But there's so many others now that they're like, oh, Andy's gay. Well, who cares? But it was it just stood out to me how different that was than when you had the incoming President Biden and all that. Does that strike you at all? So we got the young and the gay, right? We got the young press secretary and we got the gay treasury. Who do a good job? Am I a little bit jealous that somebody at 27 is press secretary? Sure. I got to be frank with you. I'm horribly jealous there. So we'll get some text on this. We come back. Also, I want to mention, as we had the national news came on and like threw me off, you know, all the things I was going to talk about here in the first half of this hour. They talked about the deal cut with East Palestine, Ohio, and Norfolk Southern. Okay? You remember this story, right? From News Nation. That East Palestine, Ohio, and Norfolk Southern said today they reached a $22 million settlement that resolved all claims by the village. And, Leanna, I don't have time to – maybe you can search this for me. Can you find the highest settlement somebody got for spilling hot coffee on them? You know, one of those, like, McDonald's coffee stories? Can you find – or, like, I went to bite into a Frito, and there was a penny in it, and I broke my tooth. Like, give me the highest – verdict in one of those cases. I started thinking about it as we talk about the fires out in Los Angeles. You go to like a Malibu and $22 million will get you a starter home. Now, maybe a little more than that. But I mean, you have like, you talk about some of those expensive neighborhoods in the LA area. Homes are $35, $40. I think there was one that sold for $300 million the other day. I say the other day, back this summer, if I remember, 270, 300, something like that. This town, this is you talking about the two Americas, and you wonder about the support in all those flyover states. In what the British used to call, they could control the cities, but the British couldn't control, anybody remember this from school, that term? The hinterlands. My hinterland people, what's up? 22 million. So the settlement, East Palestine and Norfolk Southern said in the joint statement, is to be used for priorities identified by the village in connection with the train derailment. They said around $13.5 million in prior payments Norfolk has made to the village since the derailment are recognized in the settlement. The statement said these included the replacement of East Palestine's fire and police department equipment and vehicles, improvements to its water treatment plant, I would guess, and the exterior renovation of the historic East Palestine train depot. Read this part. This is from News Nation. Residents of East Palestine say they are still having health issues more than 2 years after the Norfolk train carrying the toxic chemicals derailed in the area on February 3rd. Officials vented and burned five tank cars releasing the carcinogen vinyl chloride into the air. So we don't know if after 2 years you have this series of problems, health problems. What are we going to have in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years in that place? And you, whether they, you know, you can look at this settlement this way, the $13.5 million paid before, which I don't think it lives up to it, but that would be compensatory damages, right? To make whole East Palestine from the damage done. So the punitive damage here is $22 million. Like I said, that may be the median price of a house in Malibu. Now, I don't know how this deal got done. I don't know how, you know, Vice President Vance, I don't know. To me, this seems, and maybe I'm missing something. Maybe it's just $22 million is all they want to, you know, I mean, that's plenty for the people. I don't get it. I don't get it. And what that story we saw and what will be not just the acute damage done to that community, but the chronic damage to health for where, and people are going to move away. I mean, if you were living there and the water wasn't clean and you had these carcinogens, you move. And you have a town that probably didn't have a burgeoning growing population. Now you just opened up the drain plug and the people leave. And it's $22 million. Look, I mean, the biggest coffee verdict ever. Get your text on that. Like one of those where somebody spills her coffee and burns themselves. I mean, $22 million. All right, go to the news, and then we'll come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1224 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, heads up too, if you didn't hear him yesterday, my buddy Mike Bunn was on the show from Blakely, historic Blakely State Park. And their 5K and 1 mile fun run, the Battlefield Blitz, goes on this Saturday. You can register before the race. It starts at 8 in the morning, but best to go do it beforehand. Go to historic Blakely State Park online. It's blakelypark.com, and you can get the information there. Get signed up. Go run through the battlefield, probably the only 5K, 1 mile fun run that runs through a Civil War battlefield in our nation. And before I get, there's some great text here. We can get this, but Leanna got me one better. I guess I thought it was more for the spilled hot coffee cases. They're still significant out there. But this one, so Leanna gave me, this is the, I guess, the highest punitive, compensatory and punitive damages in a lawsuit. It says a $10 dry cleaning bill for a pair of trousers, which y'all know I love that word, ballooned into a $67 million civil lawsuit. Plaintiff Roy Pearson, a judge in Washington, D.C., says in court papers that he's been through the ringer over a lost pair of his prized pants he wanted to wear on his first day on the bench. East Palestine, Ohio, cuts a deal with Norfolk Southern for $22 million. Wow. Unbelievable. A fire dog says 79-year-old woman got $2.7 million in 1994. I guess that was for the hot coffee thing. King of all unnamed texters on the text line said, the residents forgot to say that when the train derailed, it caused hot coffee to spill on them. Yes, it would have been better. Thank you, King of all unnamed texters, for bringing in the logic. It would have been much better for the containers there on that train coming through East Palestine to turn over and spill piping hot Java on them. Then go through what they had to do on the burn-off and the carcinogens produced. $22 million. I mean, not sneezing at $22 million, but for a community? Billy D. on the text line says, Sean, I think what they did is they looked at what the mean average of a homeowner was bringing in, and that's what they gave them over, like, the course of 2 or 3 years. It only came out to each household getting, like, $150,000. But you can replace their income right now, but what about the cancer issues going forward? Yeah, and good point. Whoever this is, unnamed texter, $22 million minus 40% attorney's fees leaves $14 million. I think the attorney doesn't deserve that. That they couldn't do better than that? Maybe, and maybe there's some part in this story that I have just missed, and it's a possibility. But if I haven't, what a disgrace. Jeff in Spanish Fort said you can get $148 million if defamed by Giuliani. There you go. So, and he goes on to say, and I thought Trump was going to end the LGBTQ alphabet soup. Wasn't that what the Dems told us? Not that he promoted the best person. Yeah, what I like the fact is, though, like with Besant, he goes through the process. You're looking at this person based on what they do money-wise. That's what I care about for Treasury. And then afterwards, you go, oh, and by the way, they're gay. Okay, cool. You know, that's fine. Versus when Biden came in, it was like, they're gay, you know, and they're gay. And by the way, here's the person. Now that we've told you they're gay, you meet them. Why don't you just judge people on their merit? But 104, was that the judgment on the defamation suit? That if that's the number, unbelievable. And the people of East Palestine, Ohio get $22 million. Shut up. Irish Indian said Buttigieg, I believe, was on parental leave during the spill. Nobody showed up from the government for some time. Yeah, and that whole response thing was one thing to discuss. But here in the aftermath, in the rear view, you could say, and it was, you know, text earlier, Billy D, who talked about them maybe averaging each household getting 100. But that's like to make up for their wages. What? What about the cases of cancer and going for? I don't get, and I'm not one who goes, we need more giant lawsuits out there. I'm not one, but for this one, yeah, absolutely I am. I truly am. As we talked about, and we'll talk about this when we come back. April Marie Vogel joins us. We talked more about the confirmation proceedings for the Trump cabinet out there. Like I told you, Doge and what happened with Doge, no surprise to me. If I like a TV series, it's going to get canceled. If I find a pair of tennis shoes I really like, they're going to quit making them. If I like a cabinet secretary pick, they're going to have the trouble. And those seem to be the ones that do. We'll discuss this and more when we come back right after the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Yeah, and reading, I appreciate the text here. And yes, I am. I'm ticked off. I'm pee off, you know, about this. You can hear it. Is there some nuance? I don't know. Maybe. And I've just done this when you've been doing this 30 years or so, you realize sometimes you don't get the whole story. But gosh, in everything I read, and I have been reading for 2 years about what happened to East Palestine, and this is, you could use, you can be a smart aleck and say they got railroaded. They did. And this is not, I'm not somebody who's on here always railing about we need bigger judgments out there and lawsuits, although I see some cases like this one, and I scratch my head and said, so Norfolk Southern, and yes, they paid, they paid $13.5 million in fixing the stuff that they got that was screwed up because of the derailment. And now the settlement for the people of East Palestine, Ohio, is $22 million. I wait for somebody to go, well, must be nice. $22 million would be a life changer for one person. Not for a community that has not just the acute problems over the last 2 years. You have chronic problems with health there, and that town's going to go away. People are going to move away. I know of these people. One half of my people comes from about, I don't know, I'd have to pull the map out, about 80 miles to the east of there. The same kind of people. It's what I come from. And so, yeah, I'm teed off about it. All right, into this melee, I bring in my friend and the favorite fill-in host here at FM Talk 106.5, and I'd say the preponderance of talk stations in the state of Alabama. You read her work online multiple places, but 1819 News, and you hear her on the radio with Jeff and with me. It's April Marie Fogel. Hey.
Well, hi there. I was getting a little worried. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay. So, well, the buttons weren't pressed. Okay, well, I'm sorry. So what I was doing is in the first half, I had all things planned. I was going to talk about this, and we can, this dang 39-year-old kid that's turned the world upside down with the Chinese AI, the low-budget AI thing, low-price AI. But I heard a national news story here at the beginning of the hour, and it was about the deal that was struck, the settlement here between Norfolk Southern and East Palestine, Ohio. And I'm not one that's always on here going, we need higher judgments out there. But in this case, sign me up. $22 million, that's it, for that city that 2 years ago was, I mean, you know the kind of people we're talking about? They're my one half of my family, my people. They're going to live with this,
so
and the cancer.
This
is the train derailment from 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
They only got how much?
$22 million. That's it. That's the settlement for East Palestine, Ohio.
That's insane.
Thank you. And see, this is on first blush for you. You hadn't heard the story yet. It is insane.
Well, and you look at these, here's the thing is people have to consider, I mean, routinely there are judgments of, in single-digit millions, right? Like, it's not uncommon to see $6 to $9 million for a single incident.
Spill the coffee, slip and fall. This, somebody pointed out that the defamation lawsuit against Giuliani was $148 million.
Yes, this is insane. That is a such a low number when you look at the consequences.
And the chronic, we don't even know. I mean, they already have cancer issues coming from this now. What about in 5 years, in 10 years? This seems like normally people are like, well, how did that attorney get them that much money? Well, how did this attorney not get them any more than $22 million?
Yeah, that seems crazy. I just looked up the PG&E was recently fined $106 million
for what?
For something that they did. They ended up, I think they, it says this is a California Public Utilities settlement.
Is that from when the power lines sparked the fire, or is that?
Yep. They ended up with a penalty on top of this is insane. PG&E was penalized $150 million for the Zog fire in 2020. Then they were fined $125 million for the Kincade fire. I mean, they've gotten, I don't know why, but I think it's because of Aaron Brockovich, but I always look up PG&E because it feels like they're always paying fines. But their fines are always bigger.
Yeah, PG&E does not have the right lobbyist, I guess, that Norfolk Southern has. And I'm not, there's probably, people don't wake up at Norfolk Southern and go, how can we destroy lives? But when you spill these toxic chemicals and then do the burn off and have the vinyl chloride in the air, and now you've got already seen cancer cases there. And we know this stuff from watching it over time, be it bad water from wells, burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. This stuff sometimes takes years to manifest itself. And I know there's a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about, but I don't know. It just teed me off.
Yeah. No, the consequences of this. Now, does that preclude the families who are impacted from suing individually?
I don't think it does, but it said part of the deal was to make good the families. So I do wonder, because it breaks down like $150,000 per household. If you take that, have you made the deal that you're right? So, I mean, it gets passed out. But here's the problem. You get some family that's been disrupted for 2 years, and it might just save their house, and they take the $150,000. You know, and if they take that, then I don't know the details of it, but have they, absolved Norfolk Southern of this? I don't know. We'll watch this story. This one, I mean, if it is like it is, I don't know why this wouldn't be one of the, 26 subjects that President Trump talks about this afternoon. I mean, to me, this is, and J.D. Vance, it's Ohio.
J.D. Vance, I'm sure, is going to have a lot to say about it. This is one thing about having a lucid president. It's kind of nice because you can see a headline
really nice.
Like this and imagine, oh, look, the media, and they don't have to wait for a briefing in the media room with a binder and canned pre-planned announcements. They can expect Trump is going to just get out there and talk about these things and answer these questions, which is really freaking cool. Actually, I just tweeted a minute ago, somebody has talked about the amount of time Trump has spent personally in front of cameras just since in the first week of him holding office. And it's literally just press gaggle after press gaggle in the Oval Office, just in the White House itself, before getting on Marine One, after departing Air Force One. It's really cool.
You know, just him talking, though. I mean, it's good, and he gives lots of sound clips for talk radio and all that. But if it was just talking, like on the campaign trail, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Okay, well, that's I'm going to do. What gets my attention is he talks about it, but the things that are happening. And you talk about saying you're going to do stuff, and not all this, a lot of it's going to get gunched up, in the judicial system and all that, but to come out and just item after item after item. Let's talk about immigration for a second. I've never seen, and I'm got some gray in my beard. I've been around a while. I've never seen enforcement of U.S. immigration law like I'm seeing now. I've never seen it.
It is refreshing. And also the numbers, I looked at them this morning, the numbers of people coming, trying to come across, everybody said, oh, they're not going to self-deport. Oh, they're not going to stop. They're just going to, nope. They stopped trying to come because they know they could be separated, they could be put in jail, they could be all sorts of things. They ain't getting in. And so they have literally stopped coming. The deportations, it's been interesting to watch because they're deporting really, really bad people. Rapists, murderers, looters, you know, all of these people who are really bad committing crimes, and those hanging out with them. And people are like, oh, but you're getting some people, you know, just living with them. And I'm like, yep, that's what happens. If you've got a freaking murderer, a gang person in your house, if you're hanging out in a car with them, you go too. That person's not innocent just because they haven't been convicted of a crime. You are really fishing here.
I said a second ago that things would get slowed down on this, right, as there's going to be lawsuits, meaning, and all different kind of proposals coming from Trump. Although it seems like this Gulf of America thing has turned around pretty fast. I think where this and the immigration, where it comes, where it starts to get tougher, and they're doing a great job embedding people, you know, news folks and journalists to show what's actually happening, like we just talked about. But when it does get, when they get through that, when Holman et al. Gets through those people that I can't imagine many Americans, I don't care what party you are or whatever, that don't go, get those SOBs out of here. But when you go to the next level, you know, if you're a rule of law person, and then you start having to deport the people that are, they're illegal aliens, they broke the law, but they're not a murderer. That's where I think, well, maybe he's got to make hay while the sun shines, because when you get those stories out, I think you'll hear some public sentiment turn on it. Not everybody, but I think you'll see it swing from where it is now.
I don't know. I think if you go into these cities where liberals, and it is happening, the tide has changed, where people are saying, we've got veterans, we've got homeless, we've got, you know, all of these individuals who are Americans who can't get any support, and you're putting up illegals in these really nice hotels or these apartments, or you're doing all these things for them. I think get clearing out. And how funny is that? Biden literally just, you know, his administration, FEMA, rented out these building in places. How hard is it to drive a freaking bus up to where you know they're all living because you put them there, mm-hmm. and say, okay, everybody on the bus? And so I don't know that there's going to be a huge backlash and a ton of sympathy for that situation, because these are freeloaders. It's not like the guys, they're not going to be coming to your neighborhood and getting them. The next round, the lawful ones are still the ones who are here, who are just taking up tons of resources.
No, and I agree. So, I agree. It's just, I guess I'm with you, because I'm rule of law. You broke the law. We have to have a border. So I'm on board with that. I'm just looking at it through a PR aspect, right?
Yeah, and I think that the left has taken advantage of that. We don't want to be seen as, you know, as awful human beings. They've taken advantage of that for so long that I'm almost numb to it, right? Like, let me be the jerk who says, yeah, you got 8 people in a house, none of them holding down jobs, half of them fake, you know, using other people's IDs to try to get jobs, all these problems. Call me every name in the book, but they got to go.
But then I'll come after you if I'm playing devil's advocate here, and I'm going to show the people that are, you know, the kind of, I'm going to go vague for a second, that work harder than, you know, maybe their native-born neighbors, you know, in what they do, and have great family values, and all these things are fine. The problem is they broke that law. And I have to stick with the fact that I'm a rule of law person, although I do like the nuanced angle. If you self-deport, you can get right back in line to do this legally, because I'm somebody who's pro increased legal immigration. I love immigrants. I just want it to be legal. I mean, but if you'll self-deport, we'll give you a Disney fast pass or whatever to get in line to try to do it the right way.
Right. Well, and here's we rarely hear about the people who are in line. You know, it's crazy to say these out loud, but my daughter and I were discussing this. I was reading a news story on it. She, you know, she's homeschooled. And I told her the story of a guy I went to high school with called me up. His father is a Indian, from India, an Indian cardiologist who literally single-handedly funded and raised the money to start a hospice. he had lost his passport and was having to start the entire immigration process over again because our current system is so broken that it rewards these bad guys over these people who are hugely contributing to their communities around them. And I think I think the FastPass has to still go after those who have done it the wrong, you know, done it the correct way.
And I do, and I agree with you. Begrudgingly, I agree with you because I believe in, you know, rule of law. I don't. What drives me crazy out there, and I'll stay true to it, is when you know, laws are bent differently for different people. I don't. I guess that part of my idealism has never been washed away, even after all these decades. But at the same time, I do think from a PR angle, those are going to be tougher. You know, now, I mean, the dirtbags are getting right now. Every fair-minded person says, get them out. Good for you. Bye-bye.
Well, and the messaging, I wonder how much of it is this, you know, this Jeb Bush style. Dreamers. Oh, look at the valedictorians. Look at the ones who are working three jobs. Look at all these things. You know, I saw a number of how much money, you know, the person working three jobs, how much are they of that are they sending back if in, you know, when they're receiving services here in the U.S. There's this really crazy disconnect between there are serious, very, very hard workers here, but all of their money is going back home to whatever their home country is, and then they're getting all of our services for free. And this is just a really challenging problem that isn't going, we can't care our way out of it until they're gone.
Now, you're right. It is tough, though. I mean, you know, the heart gets into it. It does make it tougher in the discussion of dreamers and all that. But right now, I think he's got a super win. Just a second left here, but I want to, you know, I tell folks, you know, if I like a TV series, I don't watch regular TV, but like a Netflix series, that means it'll get canceled. If I like a certain kind of tennis shoe, they're going to discontinue that model. You know, I was crazy for the Doge. That's already questionable whether that's going to go away. And I see the confirmations for cabinet positions that go through, and I'm like, okay, those are good. But then when you start talking about some of my favorites here, they're going to get Tulsi Gabbard has hit like a wall there on getting her a confirmation for the Intelligence Committee. I mean, that's maybe it tells you something about what they think she's going to do, but like I'm a fan. And Cash Patel's as well, and they're going to be some of the toughest, it seems like, to get through.
Well, and I think that that one of the things that the Senate did, and that, you know, right away, of course, Marco came through. Marco had bipartisan support. Everybody's like,
yeah, but
hey,
he's a homeboy. Yeah, he's a
home, right.
He's a gang of six or eight or how many in the gang? I mean, he's an inside guy. I mean, even though Tulsi Gabbard served, she was always even outsider to people in her party. Right.
And so I think they did the obviously they did the easier ones. And I think this is the true test. Those easy ones were just that. But it will be a true test of loyalty to Trump whether or not he can get the votes. And even for JD to go into the Senate and tie break something if he needs to. I think this is a test of even people like Katie. I really do. I think that there are going to be people who have been nominated who make the establishment uncomfortable, and they're going to vote the way Trump wants just because they don't want to deal with the people back home.
But the inside stuff, and you spent a lot of time in those halls in Washington, the inside track is when you have the tiebreaker of the vice president there in the Senate, that does give one Republican cover. Right. I mean, it's these things where you're like, you get to vote against it because it's still going to pass. So you can, you know, if you feel like you've got to vote against this, you know, whether it be talking about, you know, defense secretary or DNI.
Yeah, I think that there's like probably 3 to 5 of them up there who are like, well, you can't do it because I'm going to do it. I got to do it. You know, the Murkowskis and the and so they know these guys, they need them. I mean, if you look at what Trump is doing, suspending all of these political people, these agencies need leadership and they need consistent leadership and they need it soon. And so I think that I think they'll get through. I think it'll be painful. Okay. The media is making it seem more painful than it is. But look at the way that they went after Hegseth. This is, I think it's a lot.
It seems
media.
Like there's way more. But and gosh, we're going to run out of time. We've been running out of time. But Hegseth, at least you can talk about the smear machine, but there's some handles. There's something to talk about. The problems they have with Tulsi Gabbard are not about anything in her personal life. It's that she's going to come in there with a different perspective that scares the hell out of the government military complex.
Oh, yeah. And that's what we actually need, though, right?
100%.
We need that other perspective. So, and she's got fantastic hair.
Yeah, she does.
So how's that for closing thoughts?
There you go. And you'll be able to hear more closing thoughts and opening thoughts and all that Thursday and Friday here on Midday Mobile with April Marie. So you'll be filling in then. Thank you ahead of time. Have a great day. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:56 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. A reminder to the FM Talk 106.5 app. We're just talking about a station meeting today, and just we see people using the app. It doesn't tell us like where you are; it just shows you like a state, right? Like we don't like we're not scraping information like that. And Lord knows I wouldn't know what to do with it, but it does on our app say, "Hey, people, when you know," and you're looking at all these different states using the app, listening to the radio station, how much, you know, we get daily traffic. But then during the snow, so many people from wherever, you know, they're working or family members or whatever are using the app to listen to what was going on during the snowstorm. And you could see Dr. Bill when he'd go on, the number of people listening, checking it out is cool. So, hey, whether you're just down the street or, you know, a country away, you can check us out. The FM Talk 106.5 app, it's waiting for you at the App Store if you're an iOS user, or Google Play if you're a cool old dad and mom person who runs an Android. I'd say that because it just drives my children nuts. You're the only one with it. Yeah, that's right. That's why I like it that way, because I can't play nice and join the team. But yeah, if you're an Android user, go to Google Play and look for FM TALK 1065. That's our app. Free, download it, and enjoy it. Lots of stuff you can do with that. All right, and Pat said he's got a buddy here that was PO'd at the illegals because he just finally got his green card after 10 years of being on a work visa for him and his wife. They have three children. They were all born here. He's stoked that the illegals are getting deported. And you do it the right way, and I welcome you in. I am pro-legal immigration. But that's not what's being dealt with right now. And I got some questions about that for Baldwin County Sheriff Lowry when we come back.